Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show with your hosts, Digger and Briggs.
That's right. Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com.
Welcome back into the Asylum. We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome aboard. We want to hear what you have to say. Drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com or asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
On Twitter, @asylumfootball. Give us a follow. Keep up with everything going on with the show. Rick, no time for nonsense today. A jam-packed show right out the gate here. We are going to announce the inductees into the only official fantasy sports, fantasy football specifically, I guess, yes. Hall of Fame in the world, as one would say. So we'll make those announcements. We're going to pare down the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament from the round of 32 down to the round of 8, maybe even to the final 4, time permitting. Keep up with all the action here. Get your brackets out. I know there's been a ton of gambling action on that, Rick, but Let's get to the big news first. We got a lot of people in the studio in fancy suits and a lot of families waiting to hear who gets in to this Asylum Fantasy Football official Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is the 2015 inductee ceremony to the Asylum Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. And it was a class of 10 nominees going in this year, or not going in, but up for nomination. And they were Tiki Barber, Edgerrin James, Franco Harris, Sterling Sharp, Rod Smith, Fran Tarkington, Andre Johnson, Kurt Warner, Tony Gonzalez, and Donovan McNabb. And the voting was very, very tight. Except
you said
for
that all along the way.
Yeah, except for one person who stood, that got almost a third of the votes going in. And not surprisingly, I'll save that, but the other ones were very, very tight. A couple of guys were way out of it, but all across the board, it was pretty well balanced. And it came down to the very end, and 3 snuck in out of 10. Last year, only one made it, Walter Payton. This year, 3 make it in. And I think it's time to induct our inductees.
Oh, we're going to hop right into it.
Yes, indeed.
Let's get prepared here. There's a little induction music, Rick. We call that production in the business.
Oh, really? I really enjoy that. You know, I'll tell you what. I think the obvious one to most writers and hosts and everything that voted, and that was my first vote. He got almost a third of the vote. It was yours as well. Longtime tight end great, Tony Gonzalez.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, just amazing.
Now, I have to wonder, Rick, you know, as we look back on it, we're a part of this process. We'll fade the production out and bring it back when you name the next inductee. We've already got Antonio Gates in the Hall of Fame. How does Tony Gonzalez, how does it take him, what, this is the fourth season, if I'm not mistaken, third season?
This is the, we started in 2012. Antonio Gates was an initial inductee.
He was in the inaugural class.
Inaugural class. Well, the whole thing was Tony Gonzalez was not up for nomination until this year. Be it maybe because he was still playing. I don't know if that had something to do with it. But, you know, a lot of other guys, you know, were still playing. Tom Brady's in. Peyton Manning's in.
Antonio Gates is in.
Antonio Gates still playing.
So I think
yes.
a wrong has been righted here. You know, you hear
yes.
you hear our boy, and I like him, and I want to be really nice because I plan to be at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction. But for 3 seasons, I've heard a lot of kvetching from Jerome Bettis that it's a great injustice that he's not in. So if you buy that, that wrong has been righted, and I think a wrong has been righted here in the only official Fantasy Football Hall of Fame at AsylumFantasySports.com. Welcome to immortality, Mr. Tony Gonzalez.
Yes, and well-deserved. And Tony Gonzalez is the first inductee for 2015, and we are very proud to have him, the second tight end
yes.
to make it in. Now let's move on.
Ooh, time for another.
Yes, indeed. This guy hasn't been out of the league too long, and quite frankly, it wasn't that hard to vote for him when you look at using the format that we use for scoring, averaging slightly over 20 points a game, fantasy points, Tiki Barber.
Now, that surprises me a little bit. First of all, congratulations, Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber, what? I think he was slow getting involved. The numbers you can't argue with, Rick. You laid it out there. But this was at the end of his career is when it came about. He had that reputation for fumbling a lot.
He did have the fumbles. Those are taken into consideration and scoring.
Do you know where Tiki took off, Rick? Right about the time Tiki really started to put it together. And I don't believe Tiki was on my ballot. I don't think I voted for Tiki, if I remember correctly. But at the time he really started to take off, at the time he figured it out, is about the advent of the PPR league. That was a game changer for Tiki Barber, and that's what gets him in.
Yeah, I agree. He had some fumble problems. That was taken into consideration, but he learned to hold on to the football. And one of the prototypes, along with Marshall Faulk and so forth, catching the ball out of the backfield and just being deadly in that capacity. But Tiki Barber, welcome in. You are a 2015 inductee, and we are proud to have you.
Tiki sends his regards. He couldn't be here today, but he is greatly humbled by the honor.
I am a little disappointed. None of them made it.
No, not a one of them.
I'm stunned.
You know, meanwhile, we got some of these guys who didn't get in sitting over there on the couch. Yeah. That's a little bit awkward. I don't know what we're going to do about that, but...
Okay, now, the voting, as I said, was tight. And I mean, down to the wire, it was nip and tuck with Edgerrin James, Fran Tarkington, Kurt Warner. Andre Johnson and Donovan McNabb started strong but faded towards the end of the voting.
Donovan's looking a little bitter sitting over there on the couch,
he's got that sour look on his again.
Yeah, it's going to be an awkward commercial break.
But it was very, and quite frankly, you were the last one. Traditionally, this is a tradition that Rick has unwittingly taken upon himself. He was always the last guy to vote.
Yeah, I'm very busy. I got a lot on my plate, a lot of balls in the air. Right?
Rolling around that head. Anyway, his last vote was actually the tipping point for one guy over Edgerrin James and Kurt Warner. And that's an old-timer, Fran Tarkington.
Fran Tarkington, congratulations. Welcome to the Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you what.
Rick, I give a nod.
I'm old enough to remember Fran Tarkington. You've seen some of the films.
Absolutely.
He would run half a mile on a play and still complete a pass.
Absolutely. And that's where Fran Tarkington got my vote. You know, in dealing with me, Rick, in general, I don't like old guys. That's why I don't like you. I don't like old NFL. I haven't heard of 80% of these guys you yammer on about anytime you can squeeze it in. But knowing what I do know of Fran Tarkington, the numbers you presented to me, he was a guy, when you try and look at it, a guy like me wants to compare everything to how would you do in today's league. He was Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, and all these guys before that was cool. No one had ever heard of such a thing.
Right.
He's a real throwback to what's really relevant now. So I think you almost get a nod as an innovator, and they have places for that in lots of Hall of Fame, somebody who innovated something. I think he took the quarterback position to a place it had never been before, and that's where he gets my vote. You know, I can't even speak to the numbers, how they stack up to Kurt Warner's. You know, my issue with Kurt Warner, let's get into that for a couple minutes, the guys who didn't get in, I don't think he did it long enough. Boy, when he did it better than anybody.
No question.
But I don't know if he did it long enough. Now, we have guys out there, Priest Holmes, you have some guys who didn't do it long.
Yeah.
And while I'm happy for Tiki Barber, Rick, and I'm kind of glad he's not here when I'm going to say this, though, because Ed's sitting over there really mad. I think a fantasy football Hall of Fame that includes Tiki Barber and doesn't include Edgerrin James, I take issue with that. I think that's the one snub here.
Well, fortunately, you are up for a nomination. You're a maximum of three times. James still has one in the bank. He didn't make it last year over Walter Payton either.
He's running out of time here.
He's getting a little bitter.
As he should be.
And I probably
Tiki Barber got in, and he didn't.
Well, and I kind of tipped the let the cat out of the bag when I said you voted last, and it was real tight with Tarkenton, Edge, and Warner.
So if I'd have voted for Edge, though, so you can't put that on me.
Well, that's true, yeah, okay.
Edge was on my ballot, so that didn't...
You made a comeback.
So whoever the last donkey was who put Tiki Barber in is the one Edge should take issue with, and if whoever you are, if you think we won't give him your name, you're crazy. So there it is, Rick.
That's
the class of 2015. A little controversy, I like that. Maybe we'll revisit that at some point, but
I think when it comes right down to it, whether or not Tiki deserves over James or not, I think he's still – it's fair. And I mean, we've had, you know yourself, well over 100, you know, voters on this, and he got them enough votes.
Yeah, he got the votes. In my sole opinion, doesn't matter. Although I got congratulations, Fran Tarkenton. You're welcome. All right, Rick, we got to take a break. The players are in the building. It's time to set off the second round, the round of 32 in the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. We'll do that right after this. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network. Rick, it's time. We're down to the best 32 fantasy football players in the nation, and it's time for the matchups here in the round of 32 of the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament.
Winding down to the best fantasy football player of 2015, we are going to start round two, because as you know, we don't have these stupid play-in rounds.
No,
you're
no,
either
no,
in or
yeah,
you're
yeah,
not,
that's
and we
right.
had round one last
earn
week.
Earn your way into this thing.
And I tell you what, we've got some pretty good matchups this week. And well, let's just start in the East, Rick. Number one seed moved on easily, Le'Veon Bell, going up against Mr. Clutch, Tom Brady.
Yeah, boy, a tough draw for Le'Veon Bell, the number one overall seed in the tournament. Tough draw there, catching Tom Brady in the second round. Tough game, rough game, but Le'Veon Bell's the best player in this tournament. Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion, going into 2015, is the Kentucky of this tournament. Tom Brady's game, but he's not enough. It's Le'Veon Bell fairly comfortably for me.
You know, I always hate top-notch quarterbacks against running backs in this thing because, you know, everything being equal, you play 16 games, chances are you're going with a running back, but there's always that injury factor when I'm trying to predict, you know, the best value and the best player. I still think Le'Veon Bell's in for a huge year, and I think he's going to move on, but in a close game. I think it's going down to the wire.
Yeah, tough draw for him there. So Le'Veon Bell, our first player into the Sweet 16. Rick heading down our original number 5 seed, taking on number 4 seed, Andrew Luck. Another tough, tough second-round matchup.
Yeah, you forgot to mention the 5 seed is Jimmy Graham.
Oh, yeah. I skipped that. I just said the 5 seed.
The 5 seed against the 4, Andrew Luck. No upsets there. I still don't think it's an upset. I don't like Jimmy Graham in Seattle, and I think Andrew Luck is loaded for bear, and Indianapolis is going to roll. I like Luck.
Well, I'm going to agree and disagree, Rick. I'll agree Andrew Luck wins this matchup. I think Andrew Luck has the potential, introducing Andre Johnson into that offense, has the potential to be the number one fantasy quarterback. I think that if I was ranking them right now, that's where I would rank him going into the year. But I won't say I don't like Jimmy Graham in Seattle. I love him out there. I love what Russell Wilson could do with him. He's going to be the number one receiving target for Russell Wilson, as they don't have any receivers. But that's another discussion for another day. We have an entire offseason to break that down. Andrew Luck, a little chalky here so far, Rick. Andrew Luck into the Sweet 16. Heading down, the first major upset of the tournament, the 11 seed Tony Romo taking out C.J. Anderson takes on, boy, a tough matchup here, the 3 seed Calvin Johnson.
You know, and this is a tough matchup for Calvin Johnson, quite frankly. I'm starting to believe that Detroit may have peaked. And, Calvin's still going to be Calvin. I know that. But Golden Tate's in there. He's going to be stealing a lot more work from Calvin, I think. But, you know, Romo's starting to get up there, bad back, the surgery and so forth. I think I got to go chalk and still go Calvin.
Yeah, I think Detroit's peaked, and I think they're going to take a step back this year. I don't think Calvin Johnson's peaked. You know, I worry he was banged up a little bit last year, which isn't anything that happened a lot with him. Look, this is a blowout as far as I'm concerned. Calvin Johnson only over Tony Romo. You worry. Tony Romo's gotten to the point he's going to take hits, and you are scared to death after every hit that he's not going to get up. for me, it's Calvin Johnson. He moves on easily into the Sweet 16. Yeah. So real chalky here.
Yeah, but, you know, that's one thing about taking Calvin Johnson. Last year, you know, 16th in the NFL in receiving yards, only 71 catches. You know, he was behind Alshon Jeffrey. We talked about the bad year that Chicago had and Jeffrey had.
Well, Johnson missed some time, and that's just the first time he's really missed significant time in his career.
Right. I'll go along with that, but then again, I try to always take that into consideration. But, you know,
if you're marking off injuries, then Tony Romo's got just as many negatives in his column. I think then it becomes the upside of Calvin Johnson at his position versus Tony Romo at his position. This one, Rick, you know, it was a little surprise for me. Alfred Morris seated a little high for my taste at number 7. Actually ends up knocking off Jeremy Maclin. He got a decent draw there against Maclin going to Kansas City, but taking on the 2-seed Demaryius Thomas. Do we even need to break this one down?
It's chalk all the way. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the East.
Yeah, so that's a real easy one there. Let's jump down to the Midwest bracket. We'll head straight down your bracket if you're following along. Number 1 seed in the Midwest, Antonio Brown, taking on Greg Olsen, who took out the aforementioned Alshon Jeffrey in round 1.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Greg Olsen is, I mean, I'm still saying he's going to be a top four wide receiver.
Tight end.
But Antonio Brown is arguably the number one wide receiver, and I think he's going to stay that way. Pittsburgh's got an offense, and they're going to have to score. That defense is a mess. Antonio Brown.
All right, here we go, Rick. Here's the first, I think, real nail biter we have here, the first real bracket buster type of game. We got the staying chalk here. 4-seed Rob Gronkowski going up against the 5-seed Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. I looking at this, and I don't really want to pick any of them. Jordy Nelson, number 4 wide receiver in the NFL last year, 1,519 yards, 13 touchdowns. Boy, I tell you, that's not bad. Gronkowski in his own right, 1,124 yards, 12 touchdowns. They kept Cobb. I tell you what, I'm going Jordy Nelson.
We're going to have to find a way to break this tie, Rick. It is by a gnat's eyelash. Is that a thing? Do people say that?
I
think
Bob Prince, the old gunner, used to say that all the time.
Here's the difference between Jordy Nelson and Rob Gronkowski for me. The numbers are very similar. Rob Gronkowski is the axis around which that entire Patriots offense spins. The Patriots still find a way to win games without Rob Gronkowski, but when they put up their stupid numbers, when Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and we talked about him in that tough matchup he had against Le'Veon Bell, it all revolves around Rob Gronkowski, if you don't mind me saying it in English there. My tiebreaker for this, Rick, and I'll ultimately let you make this decision, but my argument for Gronk is going to be this. It is a bigger hit to his offense if Gronk goes out than if Jordy Nelson goes out of that Packers offense. I think that offense runs and Aaron Rodgers runs it. Whoever would be in that spot, if Jordy Nelson would go out today, whoever would step into that spot for him, Jarrett Boykin, one of these guys, would step up, would have almost equal success. I don't think Jordy Nelson has great hands. He doesn't have great speed. He's just a good all-around receiver in a great situation. That's my argument, but I'm going to let you break the tie.
You know, it's very tough, and everything you say I agree with. And, you know, I think I will defer to you just for the simple reason is if you're drafting and you were eyeing Jordy Nelson with, say, theoretically 4 picks to go, and he went, okay, you're still basically, in that scenario, you're still looking at Manny Sanders.
That's a good point.
Alshon Jeffrey, something like that. Gronk goes.
He doesn't have an equal.
He doesn't
have
an equal.
Maybe one or two.
Especially Graham going to Seattle, which I still think he's going to take a step back. Olsen and Bennett were extremely solid last year, but they don't have that pedigree of being in that upper echelon year after year after year, which I think they may, but they're still not the same.
And Julius Thomas is in Jacksonville. So,
exactly.
Gronk has no equal, I think.
I'm deferring to you, and there's a minor upset with a 5-4.
All right, let's hop down. We got to keep moving here. 6th seed, Jeremy Hill, taking on the 3rd seed, Marshawn Lynch. Boy, sort of old guard, new guard there.
And actually, it was the 4-5 with Gronk. I apologize. You know what? I love Jeremy Hill. I think he is a stud in the making, and he may be this year. I don't think I'm ready to give up Marshawn Lynch yet. He's a nut. You don't know what he's going to do, but he turned out last year. Look at the year he turned in last year when he's going to retire. He got a new deal. I think somewhere along the line, Pete Carroll makes him happy. Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Hill may be the next big deal. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Gio Bernard and how they work in that offense. Gio was a little nicked up last year. We know Marshawn Lynch is going to get the bulk of the carries, and he is Marshawn Lynch, so we're going to stay chalky there and go with Marshawn Lynch. And we have the 2-seed Dez Bryant taking on 10-seed, a mild upset over Manny Sanders and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, and I really hate going chalk in two straight areas, you know, the East and now the Midwest, but I cannot ignore what Dez Bryant has done. Hilton, I think, is going to be good. Like you said, he pulled an upset over Manny Sanders last week, but he's still in a loaded offense. And Dez is like almost what you said, receiving wise, like Gronk is for the Cowboys.
Right.
It goes through Dez.
He's 1B to Antonio Brown's 1A. If anybody is better at the position than Antonio Brown, it's Dez Bryant. And I'll tell you what, those two are on a collision course in the Elite Eight to decide who goes to the Final Four. So that is it for the Midwest, Rick. Let's go ahead and break here. We'll come back, break down the West right after this.
Welcome back into the Asylum. We are Fligger and Briggs, and we're moving on to the West region in our second round of the Final 32. Rick, we got a couple of blowouts, I believe, in the making. When the first one here, Jamal Charles, number 1 seed, going up against number 9 seed, Mike Evans.
Yeah, like Mike Evans, he's going to be in my top 15 wide receivers, but Jamal Charles is Jamal Charles. A big-time blowout there. Jamal Charles gets a nice easy draw through the second round.
Yeah, I agree there. Now we have a 4-5 seed lined up with Arian Foster, the 4 seed, coming over Mark Ingram, and Julio Jones coming out of his first-round matchup against Keenan Allen.
All right, this one's not a blowout. This is so tough. You have Julio Jones who, from a talent standpoint, belongs in that Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant conversation we had last segment, and I'm sure we're going to have much more of to come. But the kid can't stay healthy. When he's on the field, he may be above them in terms of pure fantasy numbers, the cartoon-like numbers this guy can put up. Arian Foster's Arian Foster. He just gets it done. He's a touchdown machine, no question there. You know what? I hate it's kind of a cop-out, but you worry about health. Arian Foster, if it's my fantasy team, and here's what I'm basing this on, they both have health concerns. Arian Foster's that Brian Westbrook guy who is questionable about 11 weeks out of the year. You never know what's going on with him. He has a propensity to get nicked up. I think the Falcons offense should be better. I think they're going to be better in that Houston offense. I think in a real tight one in OT, I'm going to go Julio Jones.
I thought we were going to have an argument here, and the way you were going, I you didn't trust Julio Jones's health. I don't either. I agree with you. But, I mean, talk about a favorable matchup. There's another guy with the health concerns right there in Arian Foster. When they are both on the field, look out.
Now, right,
like you said,
right,
like you like to use cartoon-like numbers, and that's what you get. I just going to defer to Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is coming into, without a doubt, his own. There's really no Roddy White and Julio anymore.
No.
And Roddy White's on the way out. I mean, and you know, love that guy. But Julio Jones is clearly the number 1 in Atlanta. And I think you're right. In OT, I'm taking Julio Jones.
All right. So setting up a Jamal Charles Julio in the next round. That'll be an interesting one.
Okay. In the next matchup, we had sort of an upset with the 11 seed Cam Newton. We decided that it was going to be, you know, maybe a better year for Cam Newton, and he would be a better value than A.J. Green, who's taking a slide back, seeded at number 6. But you know what? Talk about a bad draw. You have a quarterback moving on to face another quarterback, and it just happens to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, this one. I like Cam Newton going into 2015. I really do. I think I like the way that Carolina offense is going. I'll be curious to see if they do anything with the running back position. That being said, Aaron Rodgers is the number one quarterback in the league in fantasy football with a bullet, just easily. So I think Aaron Rodgers wins this one by double digits.
I agree. Okay, and then the final matchup in the West. Huge upset, the 15 seed Martellus Bennett upsetting number 2 DeMarco Murray as he switched teams. Now he's going up against another guy that switched teams, Andre Johnson.
Rick, I think the Cinderella run continues here. For all the reasons we talked about, who are we talking about? Gronk.
Yeah.
My mind went
exactly.
Blank. Gronk moving on in his matchup. I think you make the same argument for Martellus Bennett. Love Andre Johnson going to Indy. This is a guy at the twilight of his career. Now, look, Martellus Bennett isn't 23 either. Don't get me wrong. Martellus Bennett's in the top 3 at his position, and in a position that has become very, very valuable in fantasy football. Andre Johnson, he's maybe a lower second tier guy, maybe top of the third tier. There's so much wide receiver talent that has emerged in this league. I think Martellus Bennett's just more valuable. I think the 15 seed, I think he was dramatically underseeded, so it's less of an upset, I think, than the numbers show, but the Cinderella run continues with the 15 seed for me.
You know, and I was one of the big, my argument of Andre Johnson, I thought it was going to be a renewed career, no matter how short it was in Indianapolis, you know, which led to him taking out Kelvin Benjamin. But I tell you what, I agree with you. I think Martellus Bennett is more valuable, and I think he's even going to be more valuable now that Brandon Marshall's out of town. So why would he lose?
He should be a touchdown machine. He should be an absolute touchdown machine.
I agree. So he moves on.
Ooh, the Cinderella run. This is what the tournament's all about, Rick. Well, that wraps up the West. Let's break here a little bit early. We'll come back. We'll knock out the what do we got? The South coming up.
Yes, indeed. We'll
wrap up the round of 32 right after this. Welcome back to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show on the Fantasy Sports Network and AsylumFantasySports.com. Wrapping up the round of 32 here, heading to the South region in the third annual Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. Rick started off with a good one. A couple of teammates here. The number 1 seed, Eddie Lacy, taking on the number 9 seed, Randall Cobb.
I hate these matchups. I really do. You got Randall Cobb, you know, 91 catches, 1,287 yards, and 12 touchdowns last year. Hey, you think that'd be a shoe-in. And Lacy, last year, he had such a slow start. But then he turns around, he puts in 1,139 yards, and, you know, he just looked phenomenal towards the end of the year. This guy is extremely valuable to the Packers, but I still think that everything revolves through Aaron Rodgers and the passing game. I'm going Randall Cobb.
Yeah. I'll have to defer to you because I owe you one. But I will say for
don't
me.
Don't do that. We can argue.
For me, Eddie Lacy nudges him out just a wee little bit. I'm not even sure if that's the right phrase there. And here's why. Again, and maybe this isn't how we should be looking at it. Maybe that's the discussion. Eddie Lacy's in the top 4 or 5 of his position, isn't he, Rick? Maybe
that's
in the top 3 of his position. Randall Cobb. He's the number 2 guy of a guy we eliminated earlier in this round. I still haven't seen – you know I'm no fan of Randall Cobb. I don't have Randall Cobb love. He put up the numbers last year to put me in my place a little bit and a little bit to shut me up. I just think it's sort of the same argument we made with Jordy. If I don't get Randall, there's 3 or 4 guys with the same skill set for him. This one's really close. Randall Cobb's a special player. I want anything I can have to do with that Packers passing game, and I do worry about it. Maybe the tiebreaker is that slow start Eddie Lacy had. You know he has that in him too. But when Eddie Lacy's going good, when you get into November and December when the weather stinks up there in Green Bay, man, Eddie Lacy just becomes a snowplow, for lack of a better term.
It's almost a Peyton Manning-type situation. You'd love Cobb, when the weather's nice.
Right.
And when the weather turns bad, you're starting to like Lacy. Look, I know we got rid of Jordy, but he faced Gronk.
True.
If you are in that upper echelon getting a running back and you don't get Lacy, you may get, okay, say Le'Veon Bell's gone, you may get LeSean McCoy. You may get Marshawn Lynch.
True.
If you're in there. Arian Foster, someone like that. I tell you, I don't know.
I'll give you this much. Eddie Lacy, by far the weakest of the number ones. Maybe a little overseeded at the number one. But you're right. If he's on the top tier of running backs, he's at the end of the top tier. And Randall Cobb, he's either at the end of the top tier or receivers at the top of the second tier. I'm going to give it to you, Rick. I agree. It's close enough for me. Let double overtime, tip in at the horn. Mild upset here, I think, but the 9 seed takes out the 1. Randall Cobb moves on.
All right,
Rick.
That's just amazing. But I don't like the such winner either
matchup.
One.
No, such a tough matchup. I'd be happy to have either of those guys.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Rick, the 5 seed Peyton Manning taking on the 4 seed and upstart Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I don't think it's close to me. I mean, we talk about two guys going two different directions. Odell Beckham is a special, special player, and I think we're going to be talking about him in the top 5 of fantasy wide receivers before this season.
And I just don't like the way Peyton fades.
Right.
At the end of the last 2 years, he's going to do it again this year. And we saw his little brother was lighting it up with Odell Beckham.
Right.
As soon as the whole year when Beckham started playing, it never stopped.
It was a whole different ball game there. So moving on, Golden Tate coming 11-seed coming off an upset of Drew Brees taking on your new Buffalo Bill, LeSean McCoy.
You know, I think McCoy is going to be the C.J. Spiller they never had.
Right.
And I think there's going to be still the Fred Jackson effect, but certainly not as prevalent as it always has been.
Because it won't be necessary.
Exactly.
Because McCoy will make plays.
Well, okay, number one, McCoy is better than Jackson, talent-wise. Jackson is still a great leader, and he's still going to have his role there. But let's not fool ourselves. He's getting towards, what, 32?
Right.
So, no, LeSean McCoy is the Spiller that everybody was expecting that you and I said was not going to happen.
Right. Now it's going to happen.
It's going to happen, and I'm going LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, love Golden Tate. Love him in that offense opposite Calvin Johnson, but this is LeSean McCoy, and it's not even close. Interesting matchup here, Rick, the 10 seed after upsetting Adrian Peterson in the first round. Brand-new New York Jet, Brandon Marshall, and that may come into play for me, taking on the 2 seed Matt Forte.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons he upset Adrian Peterson is, number one, the uncertainty of Adrian Peterson, which was the major factor. But now Brandon Marshall is in New York, but he has a legitimate guy beside him in Eric Decker. And now they have Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the ball in New York. I think that's at least a lateral move from Jay Cutler.
True.
The chemistry may not be there, which is why I like Forte better. Because I just don't think that Marshall will have the chemistry with Fitzpatrick that he seemed to have with Cutler. I mean, two guys out in left field, but they seemed to get along for the most part until it really imploded last year. But I'm going to go Matt Forte. You cannot ignore 102 catches from a running back last year, and I like Forte.
And that's the difference. Yeah, we know Matt Forte can and probably should have near 100 catches. So will Brandon Marshall. Here's the other thing, though. Matt Forte is going to get 175, 200, 225 carries on top of it. Makes it Matt Forte relatively easily when you're talking about this type of matchup for me. So
yeah.
That's it, Rick. Wrapping up the round of 32. What do we got? We got about 4 minutes left in this segment. You want to jump into the Sweet 16 or take a break and come back and knock that out? I'm going to let you make the call. A little show biz right here.
Let's take a little break and let's jump right back into
it. All right, so we'll break here. We'll come back. Extra long segment. We'll go through the entire Sweet 16 right after this.
Welcome back to the Asylum. We're Fligger and Briggs. We are into the Sweet 16, Rick, and we got some pretty good matchups as we wind down to the best fantasy football player of 2015. We are predicting it. Let's go to the East, buddy. And we have the number one seed, Le'Veon Bell. A tougher matchup now. He got through Tom Brady. Now he's facing Andrew Luck.
All right, this for me comes down to who I believe is going to be the number one. This is a tough draw in the Sweet 16, who I believe is going to be the number one fantasy running back against the guy who I think is going to compete with and maybe even nudge out Aaron Rodgers for the number one quarterback. That being said, for me, I'd rather have the top running back in the league, especially in a PPR format with what Le'Veon Bell can do. He's about 45 to 50% of what's probably one of the top 10 best offenses in the league going into 2015. For me, it's Le'Veon Bell relatively easily.
I don't know how easily it is. It was pretty tight against Brady, and I think it's going to be tight against Luck because I think Luck's going to have a great year. But I'm with you. It's the number one running back that I have ranked right now, and I'm going Le'Veon Bell. Okay, as I write this down, now we are moving on to one. Talk about, old guard or and mid guard or right, something. Yeah. We have Calvin Johnson and Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, great, great Sweet 16 matchup. So tough. Demaryius Thomas, he's always there. He's always putting up numbers. We know what Calvin can do for some reason. And I get the feeling you feel the same way, as you had trouble, a little more trouble than I thought you would in the last round. I think Demaryius Thomas has passed him. I think Calvin Johnson, I don't want to say I've soured on him. I've cooled off on him a little bit. I worry about him being banged up. I think Golden Tate takes some of the pressure off. You're not going to see these 200 and 300-yard games you get out of Calvin every now and again that puts those huge 2,000-yard seasons together. I'd feel more comfortable going into the year with Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I do too. And I like I said in the last round, I think Detroit has peaked somewhat. But let's face it, all things being equal receiver-wise, Peyton Manning's still better than Matt Stafford. He's consistent. He throws. He can read defenses better. And, yeah, he fades towards the end of the year, but we're talking fantasy. Your season's about over in week 13.
Right.
You know, unless you're in the playoffs, you may lose, but that doesn't matter. I think all in all in a regular season, Demaryius Thomas.
All right, so setting up a great Elite Eight matchup here coming up. Rick, boy, here's a real tough one. This might be the toughest matchup coming out here in the Sweet 16 down in the Midwest. The one seed, Antonio Brown, taking on the four seed, Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, you cannot take away the value of Rob Gronkowski in that New England offense. That being said, we're talking about the Pittsburgh offense. It's crazy how much Antonio Brown has improved and has just taken over that offense. And he's a number one seed for a reason. And I still think if I had the choice, if I'm drafting whatever it was, and I'm sure it's going to be in the first round, or the end of the first, into the second round, if I had the choice, I think I'm taking Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I think he's just so dynamic. You're going to get some rushing yards out of him. If your league counts return touchdowns, he's going to return a punt or two for a touchdown. This is really close, and all the reasons we argued Gronk to beat out Jordy Nelson would apply to an Antonio Brown, but Antonio Brown's a special player. I mean, this guy, you could write him down for 10 catches and a touchdown every week. I think he has to move on. He's a mid-first-round pick for me. I think, boy, you know, you love Gronk at that position, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. Down at the bottom of the bracket here, Rick, like this, we got Marshawn Lynch taking on Dez Bryant.
Now, this is one of these positional battles where you brought up. You have Marshawn Lynch, arguably, you know, I'll say he's still top five running back. Dez, top five wide receiver. And for that reason, I'm going Marshawn Lynch because I think he's – boy, this is a tough one because I tell you what, Dez Bryant is so solid, so many touchdowns. But when beast mode gets rolling, especially mid-season and on, I think you can just roll with him and you have more value to choose from at wide receiver, again, because the position is deeper.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a disagreement, Rick, but it's Marshawn Lynch for me, too. If I don't get Dez Bryant, I mean, look, we've eliminated Calvin Johnson from this tournament. We've eliminated Jordy Nelson from this tournament. We've eliminated comparable talent from this tournament to this point. I don't think we've eliminated anybody to the level of Marshawn Lynch at that position. So I'm going to agree, mild upset there with the three taking out Dez Bryant. All right, Rick, let's hop over to the West. Your boy Jamal Charles taking on my boy Julio Jones.
And I tell you what, I am going Jamal Charles simply because Jamal Charles year after year is solid. He was banged up a little bit last year, as we know, and was still a solid performer. Julio, just a fantastic year. 104 catches, 1,593 yards. He only had 6 touchdowns, though. And I think that tips the scale a little bit to me for Jamal Charles. So yeah. I'm going Jamal Charles.
Yeah, it's still Jamal Charles. Love Julio Jones. There are no question marks with Jamal Charles. And if anything, that Kansas City offense has gotten better this year with the addition of Jeremy Maclin, with Andy Reid at the helm. Julio Jones, there are question marks with his health and with the Atlanta offense and so forth. So, yeah, can't eliminate Jamal Charles here. I think he moves on relatively easy. All right, Rick, we've got the Cinderella, Martellus Bennett. Now it gets a little dicey as Aaron Rodgers comes to town.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I think the glass slipper doesn't fit this time around. I'm going Aaron Rodgers the whole way. His arms, his legs, and just his play extension ability. There's just nothing about Aaron Rodgers I don't like at this position. And as much as I like Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers still my number one guy going into, you know, my quarterback rankings, and he'll probably stay there.
Yeah, this is easily for me Aaron Rodgers over Martellus Bennett. Great, great run for Martellus, but it's over. Jumping to the South, Rick, we've got upset-minded Randall Cobb taking on my new boy, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I cannot go against Beckham. I love this kid. We talked about him last year. You were high on Beckham. I was high on Calvin Benjamin. They both, you know, did not disappoint, but Beckham especially. I mean,
he's going to be special.
Yeah.
He already is special, and it's only getting better. So, yeah, Odell Beckham moves on there, and he's going to be a tough matchup for the winner here of LeSean McCoy and Matt Forte. Tough matchup there in the Sweet 16.
Now, this is one that I wish we had about 20 minutes to debate.
Yeah, we got about a minute and 15, yeah, just so you know.
And it doesn't give it justice. I mean, Matt Forte last year, 1,038 yards. You know, how can you argue with, you know, not that great of a year, but he had 808 yards receiving with 102 touchdowns. LeSean McCoy had the 1,319 yards, but he only had 150 yards receiving. He's on a different team, but I don't think Buffalo's going to be throwing a whole lot to the running back, maybe more. I'm going Forte.
Yeah, it's so close, 50-50. I think it's the question mark. Regardless of how bad that Bears offense was, Matt Forte put up the numbers. He's the security blanket along with Martellus Bennett for Jay Cutler. The only thing really setting it apart is I don't know what McCoy's role is going to be, what it's going to look like in that Bills offense, and is that Bills offense good enough for LeSean McCoy to thrive the way he did in what was good Eagles offenses. So yeah, we're going to move on Matt Forte there. All right, Rick, we're out of time here. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
We don't sleep so you can stay ahead of your competition. Stick with the Asylum.
Thank you, Mark LeMay, and wrapping it up, Rick. Previewing next week, starting with the Elite Eight, we have number one Le'Veon Bell against number two Demaryius Thomas. Lo and behold, we'll have a little chalk match up there.
Chalky.
We have another Antonio Brown versus Marshawn Lynch, a 1-3 there. And then we have another 1-3 matchup with Jamal Charles and Aaron Rodgers, followed up by in the South. And we said the weakest number one seed was Eddie Lacy. He fell. We have number four, Odell Beckham, against number two, Matt Forte. And I tell you what, going back to that Matt Forte prediction over LeSean McCoy, you look at Rex Ryan's teams, not really any significant running backs.
True.
With his teams.
True.
Just another little factor you have to come in, you know, that I figured in. Yeah, I love LeSean McCoy,
yeah.
But –
I think if it was LeSean McCoy in Philly versus Forte in Chicago, you know, two sides of the same coin, I think I'd have leaned LeSean McCoy there a little bit. It's just really the unknown that sets him apart. You know, McCoy outrushes him. Forte has the 100 grabs. What'd you say McCoy had? 60, 70 grabs, something like that. And he had a down year.
He had 28.
Oh, he had 28?
He had 28 last year, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, so there's a big factor there.
Right.
Is Forte going to get 100 catches again? I'd be surprised. Well, I guess I wouldn't be stunned.
No, but if he got 80,
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I think LeSean McCoy, you're looking at more 50, 60 in that Buffalo offense. But, yeah, I think that was the difference for me, the changeover. And Forte, you know, we're basing this on a PPR format.
True. Exactly.
It's going to be tough for anybody to beat out Matt Forte, our defending champion as it is. So,
yes.
So Rick read off those Elite Eight matchups. If you want to chime in at Asylum Football on the tweeters, hit us up there. Let us know. Give us your feedback of who you think should move on. When we come back next week, we'll go through, we'll get down to the Final Four, the Final Two, and we will crown a champion of the Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament next week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And who knows? We may use your vote to sway us if we're sitting here arguing with a tight matchup. As you can tell, we have some very tight matchups going into next week. Yeah. And, Rick, next week also we will be announcing our Asylumite of the Year.
Oh, that's right.
From
Asylumite.
The calendar year of 2014, and we are already chalking up who is in the lead for this year. So, become an active Asylumite.
Yes, please do. And maybe next year you will be in contention for the 2015 Asylumite of the Year. So that's it. We will be back next week with all of that and a lot more. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.